and welcome to the Health Headlines Unpeeled podcast, where we peel back the science behind the headlines to help you make informed decisions about your health, nutrition, fitness, and well-being to lead a more productive and satisfying life. I'm Stephen Clark.
And I'm Jill Joyce, and we are excited to begin the first episode of
Health Headlines Unpeeled
from the Department of Nutritional Sciences at Oklahoma State University.
So, Jill, how you doing today?
Oh, peachy. And you?
Fantastic. It's really hot here in Oklahoma in the first part of June, and I think we're all adapting to it. You enjoying exercising out in the heat?
No.
Yeah, I think I went to ride this morning, and it was fantastic. It was all of, 75, 76 degrees. It was not the 100 degrees that it is outside right now.
So, no.
Yeah, it's going to be a long summer, but it's all good. We're looking forward to it.
My Northeast blood was boiling.
Hang in there. It will get better in October.
I can't wait.
Yeah. All right. As we get this podcast started, it might be a good idea for our listeners to learn a little bit more about us and our interest in recording this podcast series. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Jill?
Sure. I joined the Department of Nutritional Sciences in 2018 as an assistant professor in public health nutrition. And you may hear assistant professor and have no idea what that means. That basically means I'm entry-level professor. And public health nutrition means I like to work with large groups of people to impact their nutrition.
Yeah, so let's be clear. It's not entry-level, you're early career.
Okay, that sounds better.
All right, there's nothing entry-level about what you do, so move on.
All right. Well, I have a passion for changing the world by improving health and the lives of the public through good food and sound nutrition. And on a non-nerdy note, I've lived all over the East Coast and the Midwest. Sorry, West Coast, haven't been there yet. Working on it. In a few decades, maybe. I have a furry child named Tucker. I live for dessert, especially pie. And as one of my friends in the department likes to point out, we both hate kale, which is not dietitian-y of us at all.
And what is wrong with kale?
It's bitter.
It's bitter. Kale salads are great.
No.
Yeah, they're fantastic. All right. So how did you get to this point in your career, Jill?
Well, I was a practicing dietitian. And for those of you that don't know what in the world a dietitian is, we are the... You might hear registered dietitian or see an RD or an RDN after somebody's name. That's the medically credentialed nutrition professional. So you have RNs that are registered nurses and PTs that are physical therapists. And then you have RDs that are registered dietitians. So I was a clinician practicing out in the field, working all over the place because my husband was military and active duty. We moved everywhere. And I realized a couple things about myself. One, I was trained as a clinician to work in hospitals, not my passion. I found that I actually like working with large groups of people more. That's more rewarding to me. And I also found that I like to ask the hard questions that you just can't answer in practice. You have to go into research to be able to answer those hard questions. So I get to do that here. And I'm also super passionate about teaching. Always have been. That's honestly probably my favorite part of the job. That's what brought me here.
Yeah, so where'd you go to school?
I went to the University of Pittsburgh, or Pitt in Pennsylvania. That's where I'm from originally.
Awesome. And after Pitt, where did you end up?
After a few years of practice, I went back to school at Kansas State University.
That's awesome. And who did you work with at K-State?
I worked with Sarah and Rick Rosenkrantz. Sarah was my main advisor, but her husband's there too, and I worked really closely with him as well.
Oh, great. Thanks. So when we're talking a little bit about your PhD, you know, one of the things that people do when they get their PhD is learn how to do research and research all kinds of different things and hopefully do it correctly. Can you tell us about some of the areas of research that you're interested in?
Sure. While I was at Kansas State, I really wanted to work with recreational athletes. It's an area of the population I feel like we could do a little bit more work with, and we're not so much. So I wanted to look into that more. And I got assigned to work with an Army contract as one of the few PhD students that was also a dietitian. And the Army had asked us to create the most amazing, healthiest menus for their childcare system that you'd ever seen. And I immediately fell in love with child nutrition programs, which are kind of the meals that are served at childcare facilities, and also people most commonly know the National School Lunch Program or the school breakfast program. So the breakfast and lunch served in schools. So I fell in love with, if I can change how healthy those meals are, I can impact a giant proportion of the population. I can have a really big impact early on, and it'll carry on through a kiddo's life. So it was kind of just, to me, one of the most rewarding things to be able to have that big of an impact.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic. It's really good. So you mentioned it a couple of times. You have this affinity for working with military folks. So I know that you've got a passion for working with soldiers and first responders, veterans, et cetera. Can you tell us a little bit about why this is so important to you?
Yep. I do a lot of research with tactical nutrition and tactical populations. And when I say that, you probably immediately are thinking military, and you're right. That's one of them. But tactical also includes first responders like firefighters and law enforcement officers. And the reason I like to work with them so much is that I originally wanted to be an Army dietitian, but instead I married the Army, and my husband was active duty. So my closest friends for a decade are military personnel and their families. We have tons of military members in our family on both sides. My grandfather, uncle, and cousin were firefighters, are firefighters. And on my husband's side, there's a couple law enforcement officers as well. So working with this population is working with family and serving those who serve us. And I finally get to serve. I'm excited to be able to kind of return the favor to them.
That's awesome. That's great stuff. Thank you for sharing.
All right. Well, my turn to grill you. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got to this point in your career?
Yeah, I'll make this story relatively short, but I often tell our undergraduates that my educational experience was far from linear. I started life as a music major. I played the trumpet, got some great scholarships, went to the University of Denver, dropped out. I was a retention nightmare. And it took me a little while, honestly, to find myself, but eventually I figured out that nutrition was the thing that I really wanted to do for the rest of my life. And quite honestly, I've done it for 30 years, never looked back. I love it. And there's always new problems that we need to address. So it's different every day, and I just love this field.
Well, side note, you should see all of the equipment we have here. I can tell you were a music major at one point because you are very good with microphones and all this sound equipment. But you started to kind of hint at questions and research. So can you tell us a little bit about your area of research?
Yeah, I've spent most of my life in the area of iron metabolism and trying to understand the role of iron as it relates to energy metabolism. So if we think about athletes who may be iron deficient, we obviously know that they don't perform as well, right? And that would also apply to your tactical populations.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, really interested in trying to understand the molecular mechanisms through which a lack of iron sort of reprograms the cell to allow it to adapt to this new condition. I don't get to do that much anymore. I've kind of transitioned out of a super science-y role, but I still get to play one on the weekends occasionally, and it's great fun.
Well, I'm sorry you don't get to be in research as much, but you're our fearless leader, so we appreciate you being there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I love this job as well.
All right, so what's next?
Okay. So now that you know a little bit more about us, let's talk more about the why behind this podcast. Jill, what is this podcast all about? Who do we hope that actually listens to it? And why do we think this is important information to share with our listeners?
Good questions. I'm going to actually start that with a question for the listeners. The clinician in me just loves to ask more questions and more questions. Don't you love that? So, listeners, have you ever read, watched, or heard a health or nutrition headline and wondered if what that headline had to say was legit, accurate, for real, based on science and medicine? If yes, this podcast is for you. but it's also for practitioners, clinicians in all different health fields who kind of want to keep up to date on what is out there in the media, what might my patients be hearing or seeing, and then we'll summarize the science behind that so that you can kind of stay up to date on what's really happening behind the scenes in the science world. And a lot of this is going to be done by myself and our dietetic interns.
So can you tell us, I guess, a little bit about what interns are or what a dietetic internship is, just so our listeners have an appreciation for that?
Sure. Our dietetic interns are future dietitians. They're dietitians in training, aka our students. To become a dietitian, you have to do an accredited undergrad and then a master's program. And once you're done with that, or towards the end of that, you become a dietetic intern. And that's kind of equivalent to your medical residency. It's where you go out there and you do your supervised practice. We kind of throw you out into the real world with training wheels on, aka somebody watching you and supervising you.
Yeah, it's a great way to train and gain some confidence, right, as you learn to be an effective practitioner.
Yes, definitely.
So what's the intern role here in this podcast, or how do you anticipate that we're going to share our intern smarts with everybody?
Good question. So our program has what we call a research emphasis, and our students are fantastic at reading, understanding, and best of all for our listeners, translating research into something that anyone can understand, whether they're a scientist, a practitioner, or the general public. So that's what our interns are going to do. They're going to read the headline article that's in the media. They're going to read the study that headline article quotes or talks about. And then they're going to reconcile the two for you. They're going to let you know how accurate was that article, what does the study actually say, and what take-home message should we have from that.
Yeah, so tell us what you really mean by reconcile.
Sure. I mean, was the headline accurate in summarizing and presenting the findings and the take-home message of the study or studies that it mentions? Is anything exaggerated in the headline? As a scientist in nutrition and health, myself and my students reading this, did the headline summarize the study well? And did it include all the info transparently that they should have for the readers? Did they present the take-home message accurately, saying what they're allowed to say based on the research that was done? That's very important. And did they say who it applies to? Because research is usually done with a very narrow population, and it doesn't apply to everybody. It only applies to that narrow population, the findings do. So did the study tell you that? So you know if it applies to you or not.
Yeah, and just to go back to your transparent comment, I think what we're really talking about is, you know, did the article that's mentioning this scientific study, did they leave some important information out so that, you know, it made it look maybe better than it was? Or are they just highlighting certain things and ignoring some other things? And that's really what we want to be able to share with you all.
Exactly. And that's not to, we're not saying that authors are trying to hide information or be misleading. Just oftentimes the author isn't trained in science translation, and we are. So we can let you know those little things that might have gotten lost in their translation.
Yeah, and we don't typically have a word count limit like somebody who might be writing an article, right? And in fact, we're probably just the opposite. We like to write way too much.
Yep, we do. Like these podcasts. Hopefully they're not too long.
Yeah, well, we'll work on it. Be patient, everyone. So can you give us an example about what you're talking about?
Sure. So this is fake. I'm making it up. But imagine a headline says, sleeping 12 hours a day can add 15 years to your life.
Whoa.
That sounds great, doesn't it?
I need it.
Sign me up. Sign my husband up, too. But the headline doesn't tell you that the study was done in baby mice who ate a healthy diet, and I mean totally healthy all the time, and vigorously exercised daily. Well, I've got some red flags there. We aren't baby mice.
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, and I'm not anymore. So we need some human studies. And many people aren't eating very healthy. We won't. No judging. It's okay.
Yeah, this is total judgment-free zone here.
But many of us aren't eating perfectly healthy every day like the baby mice did. Right. And most of us don't exercise vigorously on a daily basis. So the headline didn't reveal that, and it was a little bit misleading. It shouldn't be applied to your life unless there's other research, ideally multiple human studies in humans similar to you, finding the same consistent results. Then we can start applying it to our lives.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, these kinds of things are things that we'll note throughout these podcasts and tell you about. We'll kind of teach you how to identify red flags and trust your red flags. And ideally, you'll learn how to be a much more savvy health media consumer.
Cool.
So Stephen, is there anything you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to say that this provides a great learning opportunity for our students, for them to practice their communication skills. It's going to help them develop confidence so that they're going to be more effective practitioners when they get out into the quote-unquote real world. But I think even more importantly, and one of the things that we've really focused on in this department, is promoting scientific literacy. And I think more than ever after the last year of the pandemic, I think we appreciate, the importance of having a scientifically literate population when it comes to understanding how science works, how to interpret things, and just as important, how not to interpret things, right?
Agreed.
Yeah, so, and obviously I'm really excited about the opportunity to share all kinds of cool science with you all. There's some amazing work being done. And some of this work doesn't really typically make the headlines all the time, right? And so it'll be fun to share some of that information with you. And, honestly, we believe here in the department that food and nutrition changes lives, and that's what we do. And we're really enthusiastic about the role that nutrition can play in enhancing the quality of life. So I really look forward to this, Jill. You got anything else you'd like to talk about?
No. How about you?
Yeah, not really. But, as we were thinking about how to organize this podcast, one of the things we decided is that we're going to end every episode with some food pun fun. So Jill is the food pun master, so she's going to start today.
Oh, boy. Here comes the cheese.
Waka waka waka.
Oh, yes. That's a flantastic question. Please let me think for a second. This was a grape episode, and donut forget about the next one.
Yeah. Well, excellent job, Jill. Excellent job.
You too. All right. Well, we'll wrap up with that. We just want to thank you, our listeners, for letting us unpeel health headlines with you. We hope that you join us in our next episode, where we'll pull back the peel and reveal the science behind the headlines. Until then, thanks for listening.
On behalf of the Department of Nutritional Sciences at Oklahoma State University, thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon. Cheers.